Country Bob FM.
Friday, end of the work week whistle, Bob FM, the Bob Almanac. Friday, April 15th. Are you, Neil? Are you ready, Neil?
Let's do this thing.
I hope we're all Neil ready. And April 15th, Friday. It's not tax day today. You know that.
No, it's Monday.
They moved it to April 18th, Monday. Has to do something with the holiday. I don't know if it's Good Friday.
It
because
is.
Of Good I know it's Good Friday, but I don't know if they moved it because of Good Friday. There's something
I think
else.
So. Markets are closed. Banks
yeah,
are.
Yeah, but there's another holiday in Washington called Emancipation Day.
Oh.
Look it up. I thought maybe that was the reason why they did it.
Okay.
But who knows?
That's
gives you a few extra days.
That Lincoln passed away. We know that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because he was shot yesterday, and then he died the next day after.
Yeah.
Maybe
that
away.
Has something to do. I don't know.
105th day of the year, 260 days until the end of the year. Harley Proctor introduces us to...
Get down to basics with Ivory, a natural soap for healthy-looking skin.
99 and 44 100th% pure, to be exact. Ivory soap, Harry Proctor, formerly or future. In the future, it'd be, of course, of the Procter & Gamble organization. You may have heard of them.
I have.
Ivory soap, does it still float?
I believe
or
it does.
Or have they put enough impurities in it now that it doesn't float anymore? That stuff's pure. That's good stuff.
Right.
I hear good stuff about ivory soap. How about General, in 1878 is when Harley Proctor introduced ivory soap, and then 1892.
We bring good things to live in. We bring good things to
It's jingle time, commercial jingle time. General Electric was incorporated this day, GE, 1892, one of the companies that built America.
Sure.
I would have to say. 1896, first Olympic Games came to an end. Big closing ceremonies, I'm sure, in Athens, Greece. It was, of course, there were ancient Olympic Games, but these were the first modern Olympic Games.
Okay, sure.
Right?
Yep.
The Blondie comic strip, 1934. Dagwood and Blondie. This was, you know, two decades before Lucy and Desi, or Lucy and Ricky, gave birth on television and had a baby. And I don't think they were able to say the word pregnant.
Really?
On I Love Lucy. I don't think so.
Ooh.
They were with child. You know, they had separate beds, so that was also a head-scratcher.
Sure.
But way before that, Dagwood and Blondie, Bumstead, had a baby boy. In the comic strip. So they could do it in the comic strip, so they couldn't do it on TV. And TV wasn't around yet in 34, obviously. But by the time we were in the 50s, it was still very taboo for someone to be pregnant on television and be with child. Maybe that's what they expecting probably would be the term that they would use.
Yeah.
There's a really good, I think it's on Netflix. It might be on HBO Max. It's one of those. It's like Being Lucy or Being the Ricardos or something. And it's really good.
Okay.
Something you can check out, but you don't stream, so I guess. But anybody else out there that streams, check it out. I thought it was really interesting as far as the relationship between Lucy and Desi. But, you know, they called that Blondie baby, they called the nickname of that baby was Baby Dumpling. In the comic strips.
Yeah. Don't call me Baby Dumpling, please.
No, that would be a good nickname.
Yeah.
From here on out, Neil is now Baby Dumpling. 1947...
The long-standing color line was finally broken. But being the first black major leaguer, Jackie quickly found himself the object of scorn, not only among fans, but among some of his own teammates as well. Many who petitioned against the very idea of Robinson wearing a big league uniform.
And I said, I don't know about any petition, but they tell me you got one up. And I don't know about any petition, but I'll tell you what you can do with it. Because Robinson's going to play on this ball club. Because I don't look at the color. I don't care whether he's green, black, yellow, white. He has talent. And he will put money in your pocket and my pocket.
Yep. And that was, of course, this date back in 47 that Jackie Robinson made his debut. He broke the color barrier. That audio is from Leo DeRocher, by the way. He was a manager of the Dodgers.
Okay.
He was right there. And if you've ever seen the movie 42,
so good.
I've heard that depicts it pretty accurately.
Oh, it's a great movie.
In 47. Then a few months later in 47, Larry Doby with, I want to say, the Cleveland Indians. Broke the American League color barrier.
Yep.
Also in 47, but the first player overall was Jackie Robinson, number 42. Hey, it's jingle time again.
You deserve a break today.
McDonald's.
Nice. You deserve a break today. I think that was written by Barry Manilow. Look that up. Or don't.
I can.
But I think I'm right. I think Barry Manilow wrote that jingle because he was a jingle writer before Mandy. You came and you gave without taking, but I sent you away. Ray Kroc opened up the first McDonald's restaurant in Des Plaines, Illinois. Hamburgers were 15 cents. Fries were 10 cents. Ray Kroc. But you know, the guy who was really innovative was the guy that started KFC.
Yes.
Because he hired Dave Thomas. Did you watch that?
I did.
Food That Built America,
yes.
Where they showed the beginning of KFC. And when Colonel Sanders sold KFC, it wasn't yet a big national brand. He sold it to these business people. They're the ones who made a national brand. They brought Dave Thomas in, if you know that name.
From Wendy's.
Yes. He would eventually take Wendy's. He's the one who invented the bucket.
Okay.
To put chicken in the bucket. That was his idea. I'm talking about Dave Thomas's idea.
Yes, yes.
It was also Dave Thomas's idea to put the big bucket as the sign, kind of like the Golden Arches. They wanted something iconic, so they made the sign a twirling, swirling, twisting, turning bucket. And then he was also the inventor, when he went on and started Wendy's, of the three-stop or the multi-stop drive-thru, where you stop to order, you stop to pay, and then you stop to pick it up.
Okay.
It was genius.
It was.
Dave Thomas was genius.
Smart man.
Very smart man. And he did the square burgers. Why, Neil? You said you watched it, didn't you?
I did. I don't remember.
Get more patties on the grill.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You get more coverage on your grill with the square patties than you can with round patties. Mm. Think about it for a moment. Did you take geometry?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So Ray Kroc, we're talking more about Dave Thomas and Ray Kroc, and Ray Kroc's family would not be happy about that. Because it's Ray Kroc Day. First McDonald's, Illinois, 1955. How about in 67?
And afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you.
Nancy and Frank Sinatra, Something Stupid. Should be our theme song here on the Bob Morning Show.
It could be.
Oh, there they are saying Something Stupid again. This was number one on the U.S. singles charts this date. It went to number one. The first and only father-daughter act to hit number one in the Hot 100s.
That's interesting. I suppose the Natalie Cole and Nat King Cole.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
That doesn't count because it was posthumously.
Right, posthumously. Yeah. Electronically and digitally mixed.
Right.
Now, on the countryside, you had Royce and Jeannie Kendall. They were the Kendalls. They went number one a few times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this was the Hot 100 deal in 67. 1990. A revolutionary television show on Fox debuted on this date called In Living Color.
Is this TV theme time, Jim?
It is. You had the Wayans. It wasn't Jim Carrey. That first season, he was billed as James Carrey. Hmm?
Really?
Yes. And then eventually Jamie Foxx was on there. David Alan Grier. A lot of funny, that was predominantly African-Americans. It was black actors. There were a couple, obviously Jim Carrey's white. But it was Fox, and it was In Living Color, and it was funny. Yeah. This is basically a sketch TV show.
Right.
That was very similar to, let's say, Saturday Night Live. And that premiered on Fox on this date, 1990. 1993 was a sad day for Minnesota sports fans.
4 seconds, 3, 2, 1, and it's all over. The Blues are here, 5-3. Now it's pack 'em up time, and on to Dallas. We wish them good luck. And to all the North Stars, over the past 26 years, we say thank you, all of you, for so much fine entertainment. It's been a pleasure knowing you. Minnesota's loss is definitely a good for Dallas, and a big one. We thank you, though.
All right, that's Al Shaver. The audio was kind of choppy. Yeah. I had to edit out some dead spots, and they were lost. But you kind of get the gist. That was the last North Stars game. Al Shaver on the call. The North Stars lost in Detroit at Joe Louis Arena 5-3 this date in 1993. You know, they were going to make the playoffs, and then they announced they were going to Dallas, and then the team won only three of their last 15 games.
Yeah, they went in the tank.
And were eliminated from the playoffs when they lost in the final game at Met Center 2 days prior. On April 13th, they lost to the hated Chicago Blackhawks, but still sad. North Stars moved on to Dallas, their last ever game this date in 1993. And I almost wore my North Stars hat. I don't know why I didn't. 2013 in the news.
We're interrupting your program because there have been two explosions today at the Boston Marathon. Two explosions near the finish line just a short while ago. You see the scene right there. Explosions right by the finish line. The winners had passed several hours before. Some stragglers were coming by, but several people on the scene are said to be injured. One man whose bib number was 17528, Frank DeRuyter of North Carolina, said there are a lot of people down.
Yeah, it was a scary scene, a terrorist attack. The two brothers that were a part of it, they chased him down, as you recall.
Oh, yeah.
One was killed. The other one ended up going to prison.
Right.
That was this date in Boston, 2013, and then 3 years ago.
We're talking about one of the great symbols of Paris and all of Western civilization. It is still standing this morning after a fire that nearly destroyed it. Flames brought down the spire and much of the roof at Notre Dame Cathedral yesterday. And think about this. It's the start of Holy Week. This morning, the fire is out.
It was rough on this, for history and such a historic building, the Notre Dame Cathedral, or you can say Notre Dame, if you'd like,
sure.
In Paris. The roof caught on fire, and it spread to much of the building. It's a large, large building.
Huge.
It burned for 15 hours. It took them that long to extinguish it. And they are hoping, and they've been rebuilding ever since.
Yes, they have.
And they're hoping to have it up and ready and fully done by the spring of 2024, 2 years from today.
All right.
That's ahead of schedule. They thought it might take a decade to rebuild it. Birthdays.
You went away and left me long time ago. Now you're knocking on my door. I hear you knocking.
Dave Edmonds. He likes knocking. He never did install a doorbell. It's all about knocking. Dave
Don't
Edmonds.
Need one, yeah.
And his group, Rock Pile. That's a good name for a group.
It is.
And now let's welcome to the stage, Rock Pile.
I like it.
Dave Edmonds is 78 today. We've got some pretty good music here today on the Almanac, but this is from a musical. It's Grease.
Yeah, well, this year she's going to wish she's never seen me.
Oh, yeah? And what are you going to do?
I just ain't going to take any of her crap. That's all. I don't take no crap from nobody.
Sonny?
Hello, ma'am.
Aren't you supposed to be in homeroom right now?
I was just going for a walk.
You were just dawdling, weren't you?
Yes, ma'am.
That is no way to start a new semester, Mr. Lattieri.
Fanavolo tutta buttana.
So there he is, Sonny. He's one of the T-Birds, Neil, from Greece.
Sure.
He changed his tune pretty quickly once What's-Her-Name came out.
Yeah.
Remember, she reminded us to be an athlete. If you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter. Yes.
Right.
So Michael Tucci from Greece, 76. He was Doug Heffernan's boss.
No. Tell the IRS we're not trying to hide anything from them. There is no foghorn leghorn who works. Now, it was just a bad joke by one of our moron drivers who happened to be standing right here now bothering me. Yeah, all right, goodbye. Well, turns out the federal government didn't think your prank was very funny either.
Oh, and they're so hilarious.
Yeah, I just bought tickets to see Kevin James down in Rochester in September.
He's doing a stand-up
routine.
Kind
of excited
there.
About it, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he started out in stand-up routine, much like his buddy Ray Romano.
Sure.
But that's Sam McMurray. He was Supervisor O'Boyle on King of Queens. He's 70 today.
Menard! I hate Menard!
Biff Tannen. Here today, Thomas F. Wilson. Who really loves manure when you think about it? I mean, it's going to be a love-hate relationship.
Right.
You know, when he would always crash into manure.
Yeah.
And that was always a problem.
Right.
That's Thomas F. Wilson. He played Biff. Then he played the young Biff, the old Biff, and then he was Mad Dog Tannen.
He was great.
And the third one, Thomas F. Wilson.
In Back to the Future.
Is 63.
Into a cool somebody doesn't
times
know.
When I'm lying in bed just to get it all out. What's in my head? Can I?
Lead singer for Four Non-Blondes. And you know what? None of them are blonde.
Really?
So they're true. It's called Truth in Names of Bands. This is what Neil says every time he wakes up and it's snowing in April. What's going on?
No kidding.
Can you hit these notes, though? Linda Perry
from try.
Four Non-Blondes, 57. Okay. Samantha Fox, 56 today. How about Chris Stapleton? He's the only thing that you have left to hold. Sun comes up and goes back down on the fall. I feel like flying to the ground. Say the word.
Crowd favorite.
Award winning.
Yep.
Pretty much took the country music world by storm.
Yeah.
Set the country music world on its head. People go because he had all this kind of hip-hop country, and then all of a sudden here comes Chris Stapleton with a more bluesy, kind of grounded everybody, really, when you look at it. Grounded the whole genre.
Very skilled.
Took it by storm, 44.
I hired her for you. I hired a 90-pound girl to work in the stock room at Smart Tech for you. Okay, I should have hired a 300-pound guy to lift a 60-inch widescreen. But instead I hired a hot girl who can't lift an iPod to bring you out of your funk.
Seth Rogen from the 40-year-old virgin there.
Oh, that's good.
Seth Rogen is 40. That's with his good buddy Paul Rudd. You know, they're doing Lay's potato chip commercials now.
Yes.
Seth Rogen and Paul Rudd. Seth Rogen is 40. And let's go to Hogwarts.
Now, if you two don't mind, I'm going to bed before either of you come up with another clever idea to get us killed. Or worse, expelled.
She was good buddies with Harry Potter. I don't know, did they ever get a thing going once they got older?
I thought so.
Did they get together as a couple? Emma Watson, who was Hermione Granger, Emma Watson, 32 today.
All right, let's move on then. To the gone, but not forgotten, Leonardo da Vinci. He had his own code. He was a fine painter. He did what he did.
Invented the helicopter.
Leonardo da Vinci, 1452. Dr. Seuss narrator Hans Conried.
Meanwhile, a short distance away, Snidely Whiplash was up to his favorite pastime, tying women to railroad tracks. He soon had unexpected company.
A Mountie!
Correct. Pardon me, sir, but do you happen to know the way to the Royal Canadian Mountie Camp?
Why, yes, I do. Oh, this pesky knot. Could you give me a hand, or rather finger?
Always willing to help a citizen in need. There.
Dudley Do-Right of the Mounties. Get out of that if you can.
Well, Hans Conried there was the evil Snidely Whiplash.
Evil indeed.
Indeed. Had the evil laugh, and Dudley Do-Right fell into his trap, but somehow Dudley usually came out on top. 1917 there.
Here's a little music, just if you want to reminisce the Dudley Do-Right theme, here it is for you.
Nice. Fine trumpet work there.
Very good.
Dr. Seuss narrator Hans Conried, 1917.
What did he narrate on the Dr. Seuss? Like Cat in the Hat, some of their TV specials and things?
Yes, yeah. Must have. Now, she was everybody's favorite witch. Elizabeth Montgomery, Samantha of Bewitched.
I'm afraid you're slicing right into trouble, right into the trees.
Have you ever thought about that, Neil, when you're struggling with your golf game, just bring a witch?
I hadn't until just now.
Straighten out the bad shot. Who needs a lesson? Who needs to work on their swing? Who needs, to prevent the over-the-top move when you've got a witch?
You just put her on the bag and all your problems are solved.
Because I can clearly see in that clip from Bewitched why Darewood was slicing. He brought the club way too far to the inside.
He's set up to hit a slice then.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, on his backswing, just way too far. You got to keep that on the line, Neil, you know.
Yes, he's had a bad swing plane.
Oh, it's awful.
Elizabeth Montgomery was Samantha Bewitched, 1933. One of our most talented musicians. He's a Hall of Famer, the great Roy Clark.
And if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it with you. I wouldn't want to miss a thing that we've been through.
Was there a stringed instrument that he could not play? I don't think so.
I don't think so, and play very, very well. Funny guy, great sense of humor, and U.S. national banjo champion twice,
right. And,
in the 50s, and yeah, just can play.
One of the inventors of Pickin' and Grinnin'. He invented Pickin' and Grinnin',
right.
He and Buck Owens.
With Hee Haw. The great Roy Clark, born on this day, 1933. We'll mention Dodi Fayed, 1955. He was, with Princess Diana in the ill-fated car crash.
He was
her love interest, yes. 1955, and they're all gone, but not forgotten.
Just think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about
your staff living. Missed out on country singer Bob Lumen.
Oh, yes.
Of the Lumens.
The whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
He did Lonely Women Make Good Lovers, too, didn't he? Can we record that one? Wasn't he one of the guys who did that?
Maybe. I don't know.
I thought so.
It's possible.
That
but I like
was,
that one.
No,
I like that one, too. Think about living. Think Bob about loving. Lumen. We got to get it done with Bob Lumen.
Right on.
Here on the Bob FM.
Now
they're all gone. He was born, by the way, he was born in 1937.
37.
He
all
was
right.
1937. I'm looking at his hit songs. That one went to number 9. And Lonely Women, he did Lonely Women Make Good Lovers in 1972.
Very nice.
Top 5 tune.
There we go.
Would you like to start your Bob FM, Bob Almanac, Bob Bobathon, and No Repeat Workday with George Street? Give it away. Mm-hmm. Hank, I think you just call him George Street.
Right.
I'm thinking of...
Straight Street.
I'm thinking of Hal Street, or Main Street. George Strait, give it away. Hank Williams Jr., Dixie On My Mind, or Paul Overstreet. That's where the street came from.
Right.
Daddy's Come Around.
Yeah, let's try Paul Overstreet today.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDBG, Albert.